Yeah, look, we've had over 600 applications come through, and various projects and proposals have been put forward, and that's one thing that we've been working our way through. And hopefully, by the end of this week, towards the end of this week, we'll have most of our work going through those
Now, there's a cap of $20,000, which is kind of the most people can get under this. So if everybody that's applied gets that $20,000, there's $1 million on offer. That's only 50 people, so that means that 550 are going to miss out.
Yeah, in roundabout ways, if you do it crude mathematics like that, that's correct. Look, some of the applications haven't actually fit the criteria. They've been outside of that. Not all applications are up to the 20,000. So to say 50 or not is a bit premature for the process itself. As I said, we'll have a really good clear picture on that towards the end of this week, and we'll be able to let everyone know. And if you haven't been successful and the application's solid, we're wanting to try to roll them over so that in subsequent rounds that they also are in the mix as well, because we do feel like this first round actually flushed a lot of applications out.
How will it be decided whether or not people have been successful?
Well, we've got a panel made up of VFF, it's Gary UDB, and a representative of the NFF, to sit down and go through a rough criteria of how dairy farmers can either better their own business skills, improve infrastructure around external professionals in to help them with any key parts of their business. And we'll be working our way through those criteria, working our way through the different projects within those criteria, and try to give a representation of the applications that have come through so that no one criteria has been overweighted to another.
Now, you mentioned that this is being judged by a panel, so VFF, UDV and NFF. How do you ensure that it's not giving favouritism to people that are close to either the VFF or the UDV, that it isn't kind of grants for the boys as such?
Yep, very good question. And this is the heart of the whole fund itself and what we're trying to achieve. We want to be transparent, first of all, the funds that are received and how they're distributed, and then also not to give any favouritism to anyone within the milk pool that applies. So as the applications come in, there's the information's de-identified. That de-identified information then goes to the panel. Then the panel selects the applicants on merit, completely on merit. And then those selected applicants that are successful then get handed back. They get re-identified through the process. So the people on the panel will never know who they've selected in the process, and that way we're trying to keep it all about what the funds are going to be used for and how much impact it can make for the industry.
And so what does happen to those people who miss this round?
Two parts. First of all, the applicants that don't fit the criteria, they'll be informed of the general reasons, what the grant's for, how the application's to work, what the grants are for, and then they can reapply, modify their application, reapply. The ones that then also had a good application, but we weren't able to fund it because of restrictions on the amount of applications we could deem successful, they will generally be notified to say that you've got a good application. We'll then hold them over and put them into the mix in subsequent rounds so that there's no need for them to reapply if it's been a good application. And we'll let people know where they fit into that category as soon as we've made the decision on the first round.
So does that mean that there will basically be a backlog before you've even got going, that if people aren't successful in this round, but by the time the next round comes around, there's already arguably going to be quite a few people in the queue ready for the next round of funding?
Yeah, that's how the 600 applications obviously deem the fact that there'll be a lot of carryover. However, we're still encouraging people who haven't applied to still apply, so we can actually, first of all, demonstrate that there is a demand for this, for the grant, for the process itself, but then also that we can understand and get a clear picture of what the funds are used for. And when we talk to government or talk about the industry in the bigger picture and about why this crisis occurred in the first place, we can say these are some of the needs that are in the industry at the moment, and this is what the real focus of any support should be around.
And just finally, does the UDV support this initiative?
The UDV is part of the panel. The UDV itself is focusing on why we're here at the first place, and we've sort of divided the workload up as a matter of ways. I'm helping drive the fund. The VFF's taking a lot of workload here, whereas the UDV is really focusing on how this happened in the first place and to ensure it doesn't happen again.
Do they support it, though?
We've got applications. We've got people within the UDV sitting on the panel. So for me, there's different views on the fund itself, and the UDV is a part of the process here, and yeah, we've got people a part of it. So if you want one answer, there's people in there that think it's a great idea, and there's people with various different views. We're a broad church, and we're trying to accommodate all of it.